Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Marks and Reese, Ike Reese, Elliott Shore Parks. We're hanging out here at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Football Friday. Not next week, but the following week, right, is the first preseason games.
Yeah, the 12th, I think.
Is that for everybody? Well, the Eagles open up on a Friday.
Because it's a certain amount of days from when you open camp that you have to wait. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that'll be the first go-around for all the teams.
Yeah,
I guess the Hall of Fame
game.
Well,
when's the Hall of Fame game? Yeah, when is the Hall of Fame
game? That might be next week, honestly.
Yeah. When is the Hall of Fame game, Jack?
Who is it?
Who are the big names going in this year?
Is it John Lynch going in?
They normally tie it to who's ever going in the Hall of Fame.
Come on, it's Raiders-Jags.
Ooh, Dougie P.
Yeah, Dougie P, yeah.
Dougie P.
Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem.
August 4th.
All right. I knew it was next week, so it is next
week.
Yeah,
you think Dougie P. is going to play the starters?
Is there a worse?
I don't think so.
No.
Listen, there's a lot of things about the NFL that I think is overrated. Is there anything more overrated than the Hall of Fame game? It is awful. Every
Stop it, man. Stop
I like,
man, Jack, anytime
like
football's on, it's a
football.
Good thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
yes,
it's
yes,
not.
It is.
Come on,
USFL
man.
Stinks. XFL stinks. It's not all football's good. Dude, the Hall of Fame game, there's never been one interesting thing out of it. It's like we get so excited for it, and then it's terrible.
Because it's the first game.
Yeah, it's the season's
back. No. I would rather get Elliott's, like, I would rather a full
the breakdown of joint practice.
Well, than the Hall of Fame game, yes.
Who knows? Maybe they'll be in the Hall of Fame one day, these practices.
Well, that's because the game is never good. That's obvious. The
but here's the thing, though. You know Jack's going to watch.
Of course.
Like, everyone does this with the Hall of Fame game.
They're on Twitter
the whole time being like, oh, I can't believe preseason. This is so bad, blah, 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 while they're sitting there watching it.
Hold on. August 4th. We'll be in the middle of – that's right after the trade deadline there, Elliott. What are you talking about?
Yeah, season will be
You'll
over.
You'll be locked in into the Phillies.
Stop, Elliott. Grow up a little bit. First off, they're playing the Nats that night at home. That's a win.
That's a W.
Yeah, you think I'm worried about the Hall of Fame game and Dougie P?
You'll be flipping back and forth.
You got to watch Dougie P, man.
I just want to hear his press conferences, honestly. Like, maybe they'll ask him, like, can they get Brett Favre's opinion on Trevor Lawrence and then see how he handles that.
Yeah, I wonder if they're dealing – if Doug's dealing with all that down there, worried about what Brett's saying and everything.
Brett's probably showing up. Well, Brett's not good to be associated with right now.
Yeah, these days he's probably not talking about
it. Do you think that Doug, like, smiles with his, like, goofy smile every time he goes to the podium now, knowing how easy it is?
Yeah, 100%.
No doubt about it. Hey, get an update on the Twitter question from Jack in just a second. It is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Shop the home team with no Philly sales tax and plenty of free parking. Visit Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville or online at marks-jewelers.com. What do you got for us, Jack?
Yeah, so can the Eagles reach double-digit wins if Hurts is just average this year? Holding steady at 56%. You know, it hasn't moved a crazy amount, so people are still positive. I do wonder if that's more schedule-related or team-related.
It's probably a little bit of both, actually. I mean, yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. If they feel that way without Jalen having to play better than average football, yeah, we'll probably have to do. Although the roster is talented.
I think it's schedule-related.
Yeah.
I think it's schedule-related. Because we all just saw it. We just saw what an easy schedule can do.
Yep. All right, let's get Yoshi up here. And believe me, we're going to get into the Kyler Murray thing and the fact that the running back situation may be something that we need to keep our eye on here coming up in the next few days. But I wanted to get a couple callers in here. Yoshi, Brewery Town, what's up, brother?
What's up, Big Ike? E-Man, Jacket, baby.
What's up, Yoshi?
Thank you for finally getting me on the radio because this lady started walking her dog over at the park and I was getting shaggy.
It's all good, man.
Woo! Hey, I'm married, but I ain't blind. But anyway, I won't look hard if you listen. Anyway, hey, man, look. Jalen, what's his name? He had a bad day. What's his name? And the Sixth Mariners, you know. Gone had a bad day. Give us some old stuff to talk about, what's man. And I still feel as though the boy gonna be solid when this season starts. This was one of them days that was gonna happen. What's man? Had two good days by feeling yourself, and then the mojo just gets on out of there. And that's how it happened. You know how it is. You might have been hitting everybody, chasing everybody down, what's name, one day. Next day, you misreading every daggone thing. I be in practice one day catching everything. One-handed, ODB in the ball next day. Hit my fingertips. I'm cussing the ball out. It'd be like that. It'd be like that. I ain't
yeah, but a bad practice is still a bad practice, Yoshi. Like, it's still concerning to see.
I ain't even said it won't, Elliot. You gotta listen to what I said.
I'm listening.
Come on, man. It's a bad practice. Now, so far he's winning the weekly series. He go out there, he think tomorrow, then what's name is solid to talk about today as expressive as we talking about it. And another thing I want to touch on, what's name? Jonathan Gannon, what's name? $INGBO. Don't drop Hassan Reddick back. Let the boy chase the quarterback. We have seen it. In Arizona, what's the name? What was his stat? 50-50, then it went down. He didn't look good.
Yeah.
Carolina, what is he? Top five? Getting sacked? Come on, man. Don't change that boy game up. Play him the way he's supposed to be played. And I know y'all about to talk about that Gainwell and that Miles thing. I love Boogie. I love him. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it is legit that Gainwell, what's name, can out-touch him or be right there neck and neck with him. You got to look at him. More patient runner. He a one-cut up-the-field dude. He's strong. And when he round that goal line, woo-wee, he slips it, don't he?
He finds a way to get in there.
Is, boy. It's like when that boy gets low and get in that end zone, it's like he see a quarter and he wanted it. Because he get up in there, he get low. He want that quarter before anybody else can touch it in the end zone. So it's legit that boy was saying can out-touch Miles, and then they can be telling Miles, was saying, don't try to get all happy and demand a lot this year because we got this kid right here. And he catch better coming out the backfield, run better routes and all that good stuff. Yeah. It is Friday. I love y'all guys. Y'all have a beautiful, blessed weekend.
All right, Yosh, take it easy, brother. Yeah. You got to put your seatbelt on when Yoshi.
I was going to say, yeah. Yoshi's a talk about training camp being a roller coaster.
That's a lot going
Yoshi's
on with
good
Yoshi
to go there. As soon as you hit that button.
Yeah, Yoshi and Black Gritty is like, yeah, you got to just let them go.
Just let them do their thing, yeah.
All right, well, since he got into it, because I guess he felt what we were hinting at, and he probably saw some of the reports out there. Elliot, what did you notice out there today, and give us your thoughts on the running back position?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. So practice started today. First running play of practice, I look, expecting to see Miles Sanders. And it's Boston Scott. Boston Scott had the first carry.
Then with the first team.
With the first team, yeah, with the first team. Then the next time they run it, I'm like, all right, this will probably be Miles. Boston Scott again. So Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell were running with the first team offense today. The only running backs that touched the ball with the first team offense today were Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott. And then with the second team running back, it was Miles. Miles had four carries with the backups. And that seemed weird to me because obviously he's the starter, but I went back and looked, and last year Miles Sanders carried the ball 67 times in training camp, and he didn't carry it with the backups a single time. Not a single time all last camp was he with the backups. Huh. Today he was with them and he carried them four times. So, you know, I don't think Miles is benched. I don't think he's the backup now. I don't think this was a punishment. It's just very interesting that Miles was working with the backups today.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. Is it a one-day thing? Will it be different tomorrow? Are they practicing tomorrow?
They are, yeah.
All right, so they practice tomorrow, and then they have Sunday off, and they're back Monday.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. I'll be waiting to hear or read your tweets about tomorrow's practice to see if he's back out there with the first team, because I know Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen didn't speak today. It was Jonathan Gannon, so they didn't get a chance to be asked about the running back rotation. But best believe, before practice tomorrow,
oh, they'll be asked. Yeah,
they will
Shane
be asked.
Will be asked. Yeah.
Yeah, so they will be prepared for that, and it'll be interesting to see what practice reps, how they're divvied up between those guys. That is, I'm not going to say it's a big deal, but it's not nothing. It's not nothing that you take a starting running back and he's not running with the first team. Now, it doesn't mean he can't get back in there and run with the first team, but when someone is your starting tailback, unless he, I don't know, it would seem weird to me that he's not out there with the first team. So he wasn't in the bathroom. He wasn't dealing with something with a trainer that they had to get him back out there. And then he was – now, was that the entire practice that he didn't run with the first team, or was that just the beginning of practice?
Yeah, so the first team had four team sessions, and he didn't touch the ball with the first team the entire time.
Was he in there with them?
I did not see him in there with them.
Wow.
Now, again, I could have missed him. Maybe he was in the backfield once, but he did not touch the ball.
Right.
And to me, but what's more interesting is because you're right, like – there can be times where Miles is off to the side, so, you know, Boston get in there or whatever.
Yep.
I just think it's interesting that they had him carry the ball with the second team, like the backup offensive line. You
like
know?
They gave him the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the interesting part to me. And correct me if I'm wrong about this, and I know different positions work differently, but a lot of times, like, before you go into a practice, you know what unit you're on. Like, you're on first unit, second unit, third unit.
Yes.
So I wonder if this was, you know, going into the day, Miles knew. I'm working with I am the second running back today, third, really, I guess, behind Kenny and Boston.
Yes, he knew. Yes.
I would think so, right?
Yes. He's the normal starter. So they have to let – else he would have went out there with the first
team. Right,
when
they say ones, he would have went out there. Right.
So they had to have let him know that Miles, Kenny and Boston are going to run with the first team. You're running with the second unit today. That doesn't mean they gave him an explanation. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I'm not there. I don't know. But he was aware that he was not running with the first team before he got out there on the field.
Now, and they are going to rotate their backs this year. They are. Like, Kenny Gainwell is going to be – well, no, here's what I'd say. Like, they need work with the first team as well. To me, Miles with the first team is not the story. It's the fact that he ran with the second team.
I hear you. And I know the significance of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
That they gave him the ball with the second unit.
Yeah.
It's not as drastic, but it's probably the next thing to having the quarterback, your starting quarterback, run with the second unit.
Yeah, it would be like if Gardner was with the starters.
Yes.
And the interesting thing, too, is on Wednesday, I thought he had a relatively good practice. He was with the first team. I think he carried it four times with the first team. There was one pass that came his way. He caught. He double clutched it a little if, like, they really wanted to nitpick. But – he didn't fumble it. He didn't have a drop. Like, there was no clear indication of he's made a mistake and maybe this is why this is happening.
Yeah, they're going to be happy. This isn't a major story right now. But we're going to watch it, and it's going to play out. And we're already anticipating Kenny Gainwell being a bigger part of the offense this year. Can he possibly take carries away from Miles on first and second down? Can Boston Scott possibly take carries away from Miles on first and second down? Well, I'm already expecting receptions.
Yeah.
I'm already expecting Kenny Gainwell to be the top third down back.
Do you think the coaching staff still views him as the start, like the undisputed starter RB1?
No. Because you use keywords like undisputed.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no.
RB1. Like, Goddard's the
tight end one.
Right?
Yes, I know exactly what you said. Yeah. No, I don't believe that. Now they may validate that and say something differently, but I think Miles has left the door open enough that if the other guys step through the door and seize the opportunity, he could find himself potentially asking for a trade by the trade deadline.
Yeah,
and I throw that out there. I wouldn't trade him for a team with high expectations. Running backs go down at any moment, so I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he's going to be happy getting the ball five times a game.
Well, and I think Miles believes that he is a guy that should be getting 20, 25 touches.
And he should believe that.
Yeah, everyone should believe. Yeah. Everyone should believe about themselves.
Well, he actually has the ability to.
Well,
now, he has to put it together, but he has the talent.
And that's what has me confused is I do believe he is substantially better than Gainwell and Boston Scott. Like, I do. And I know there's been moments where he's made mistakes, you know, not going out or going out of bounds. Like, there's been fumbles.
Did that twice, yeah.
But there's also been a lot of moments where he's
going out of bounds thing.
The going out of bounds thing. He did it twice. There was, I believe, two costly fumbles last year, too, actually. But there's also been a lot of moments where he shows you that he can be a difference-making running back.
He's a home run hitter.
Exactly. Like the win against the Saints in 2020, right, mm-hmm. where he had that big run. Like, there's been those moments. So I don't even think he's played poorly to the point where I think he should be benched. This isn't like Rager or JJ or anything.
No,
he's shown a ton of potential.
But it's something. It's something that they're watching. They're watching it. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's get Andy and Aston wants to talk a little bit about what he saw at practice. He said he's at practice. What's up, Andy? Welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Andy?
First time, been a fan of Mike for a while now, and but
I'll let you boy.
Elliot, I like your take a lot, but are you looking at number 10 that had a bad day or number 1? Because
well, they both have bad days.
I'm just saying because I thought Jalen had a decent day. Yeah, there were some balls that, but I thought he was trying to put them in tight windows, and try to make plays. I thought Goddard made a wonderful catch on a ball that was a little high, but he had to go high. I don't know what the defensive back was that was there that was covering him at the time. But I thought he was making the right throws. And for me, and I'll just be honest, I'm not even really an Eagles fan. My son is. And I thought that he looked the part. I mean, being able to see him up close anyway.
I have a better quarterback eye than Elliot
who knows?
Does,
maybe
Andy.
It's like we're doing the Eagles insider hit when I call in. But, no, I completely disagree. I don't know what to say. Now, look, it's open to interpretation, right? This is a practice. You saw what you saw, right? You mentioned the Goddard throw where he had to go high. Like, that's an example of what I mean. I thought that there were accuracy issues even on some of the completions. You mentioned the tight windows. I guess coverage was good, but these were not tight windows like along the sidelines. A lot of passes that fell incomplete were, like, over the middle, where I do think those should be completed passes. These were, 5, 6, 7, 8 yard passes that should be completed in practice. And overall, you mentioned Gardner. Like, Gardner had a bad day too. No one's asked about him, but he had 2 interceptions. He did not have a good practice either. So overall, the offense, no matter what unit was on the field, did not play well today.
Well, and I guess it, real quick, my point just being is that, right, you guys, we're looking for Jalen to grow. So he's got to take those chances, and he's taking those chances in practice, which, again—
But he didn't really take those chances today. Like the interception he had, I don't know if you saw it where you were at. Like, he just kind of lofted that up into coverage, and Avante Maddox—
That was more of a bad decision is what you're saying.
But outside of that, I didn't think there were risky throws today. They were just bad throws.
I mean, you're right. It's open to interpretation. I thought coming in— I thought Jalen looked really well. I really did.
Wow. All right.
And real quick,
Well, who are you a team of, by the way? Are you just used to bad quarterback play, or like what?
The Giants fan.
Oh, there you go. Okay, you're watching. You're watching Daniel Jones every week. No wonder you thought Hurts looked good.
No. But I mean, what are you looking for? I mean, he's not Tom Brady. Like, that's my point. Like this is the problem sometimes that I get upset with Eagles fans. We sit here and we think like, okay, we got Tom Brady that's playing out here. It's not Tom Brady, okay? He's in his third year, and, yeah, he's got to make significant changes, and hopefully with the upgrade in the offense, he's going to do that. But you're making it sound like this guy looked like didn't look good at all today. And
he did not.
I didn't think he—
I mean, a lot of people agree with me for what it's worth. Like, I did not think he looked good today.
Yeah, he played the Chuck drop.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Because
he's a bum, yeah. Well, I'm sure Jack was happy seeing the practice updates.
Oh, there's no doubt
struggling
about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't dislike Jalen. I just—
Well, it sure sounds
like— I can't
tell.
Well,
yeah,
I can't tell.
Like, you say that, like, you don't like him thing just to sugarcoat what you're always about to say.
I like Jalen as a person and as a potential leader of this football team. I just think for some reason, sometimes we put on blinders for some reason, and we look at everything through Eagles-colored glasses. When, like, you see how the game is played all around the league, and I don't know why we have to continue to fool ourselves into thinking we have a possible star here.
Well, like, that's a little bit like the Ben Simmons thing, where you explain away why he doesn't have to do certain things.
Right.
Like, he has to pass the ball better, I agree. Last year was still a clear success for him.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. That's where we are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Chickies, summer of shellfish. Now, it's going on now. Sticky finger lobster tails. How about the shrimp scampi pizza and more? Details at chickiesandpete's.com. Well, I tell you, the Hurts thing will always be there as a topic of discussion. It's a little weird to have a Giants fan calling up and defending Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But like you said, he's so used to looking at poor quarterback play. Even when they won 2 Super Bowls, they had to drink a lot of Pepto-Bismol to win those games and enjoy it, because Eli looks like trash even when they're winning. So, yeah, when's the last time the Giants had a good quarterback to look at.
Well, and the other thing,
I mean, Eli was barely a 500 quarterback.
I don't think he is a 500.
That's a Hall of Famer,
below for his,
yeah.
Yes, I do know. He'll be a Hall of Famer, yes.
Yes, he will be.
I think every Manning will. You can go ahead and put Archie in there, too. Arch, yep. Manning, yeah. He's at Texas. He'll be in a damn Hall of Fame, too.
College Hall of Fame.
Yes.
First. Yeah, F1 year at Texas or whatever, yes. It is. But I thought what he said, and a few callers have kind of hinted at this, where like, well, he is what he is, so what do you expect? That's where my greatness comment came. Like, maybe greatness is strong.
It is strong.
Fine, but like, we can't just say, well, he is what he is, so he struggled, you know, whatever. Like, there should be a bar of like, yes, you're right. He's in his third year, but that does not mean that the bar should be set low. Like, the roster around him is good. He's playing for a franchise contract, and he does have talent. So I think there should be high expectations for him.
Yeah, and listen, you can't ask to be in this position and not accept the pressure that comes along with it. Playing quarterback, you're going to get a lot of scrutiny. And then when you're on a team where there's high expectations and people have a little bit of trepidation that you may be the reason why the team doesn't necessarily meet expectations, like that anxiety is going to be around him. It just is. There's a reason why A.J. Brown and Nick Sirianni arrived at training camp, you know, trying to show support of the quarterback and right. Letting people know that they have his back 100% because they've heard the questions and they know that that's out there. And it's legit.
It's fair,
It's legit. And it's not being Negadelphia or anything else. It's okay, we want to be excited about the football team. Well, okay, you're gonna expect everyone else to pull their weight, right? We're talking about Miles potentially being the backup running back now.
Yeah.
You know, if A.J. Brown isn't catching the ball or dropping passes, he's going to get criticized.
Devontae doesn't have a catch through two practices. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so it happens. So Jalen, I mean, again, when you ask to be in this position, this is what comes along with the territory.
And there's a lucrative reward at the end for him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's
a pot of gold, brother.
He has an opportunity. Like, I don't feel bad for Jalen. You know, like,
right.
Jalen has earned the opportunity to get there, and now he has a chance to really do something special this year and be paid very lucratively for it.
All right, let's get Larry from Ridley Park in here real quick. What's up, Larry?
Hey, fellas, how are you?
What's up, brother?
I want to change the subject. I want to talk about Jesse Bates.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So the Dallas Cowboys are the first to fire a shot across the bow. They have offered Cincinnati a second-round draft pick next year for Bates.
All right. This is reported somewhere, I would assume?
It was.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So are you satisfied with Epps being the safety back there if you have an opportunity to get Bates?
Obviously, if you had an opportunity to get Jesse Bates, you'd take Jesse Bates. I don't know if the Eagles are ready to spend all their draft capital and more salary cap space.
Yeah,
because,
pay him, yeah.
Yeah, because Jesse Bates isn't going to be happy here either if you don't give him a new contract. Like, that's what he wants. That's why he's holding out in Cincinnati. He doesn't want to sign the franchise tag. He wants a new deal. So if you trade for him, you have to expect he's not playing on the franchise tag. He wants a new deal
and
to be the highest paid safety in football.
And he has to play this year on the franchise tag. So you're talking about paying him $13 million and then giving him a massive deal.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of money involved.
From what I understand, he's looking for $23 million a year.
Eagles will never
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Yeah. I'd be stunned if the Eagles gave him $23 million a year.
If anybody gives Jesse Bates $23 million a year, they ought to be fired.
On a scale 1 to 10, where do you put Epps?
Three.
He's a serviceable safety. He's not terrible, but we know there aren't a lot of special plays being made by Marcus Epps. He's just back there because he's not going to hurt your defense, but you want a difference maker back there. But he's a serviceable safety. I don't have a problem with Marcus Epps as my third safety.
Yeah, and Jonathan Gannon talked about him today, and he said, it's funny you bring up reliable. Like, that's what, you know, he said that he's reliable. That's what he likes about him. He did have an interception on the first day of camp, made a nice play. Yep. The Eagles keep saying they're high on him. But to your point, like, ideally he's your third safety. Right? But when you have difference makers at cornerback, at nickel corner, along the defensive line, when you invest in the linebacker position, like, one position has to give. You can't have 10-plus million-dollar guys at all 11 positions on that side of the ball.
Before we go to break real quick, Kayvon Wallace, watch out for him. This is his third season.
Yep.
Said players typically show you who they are by their third year. I loved Kayvon Wallace coming out of Clemson. He has a nose for the football. He plays with an aggressive style. The first 2 years here, he can't stay healthy. I don't know if he understood Jim Schwartz's defense in his rookie year, and then last year he just seemed to be behind the eight ball and never got healthy enough to be out there. Third year, could be. I'm just saying. He could be one of those surprises of training camp that nobody was expecting anything from. He's out there running with the first team.
Yep.
He's a fourth-round draft pick.
Yep. Do you think
be surprised.
Do you think he has the potential to be the best safety from Clemson in Eagles history?
I knew Jack was coming in.
I don't think he has the potential to do that. I don't think he has the potential to do that.
Well, if Kayvon has a great year, then this defense is going to be good.
Well, I don't know if he's going to have a great year. I'm just saying.
I mean, a serviceable
he could be your starting safety, one of your starting safeties out there. He could be.
Yeah.
Elliot, is there any more Rager flashes today?
Man, Rager had a drop today.
Oh, God. But he has more catches than Devontae, though, right?
He does. Yeah, he has more touchdowns than Devontae, too. I think Rager has two.
Two former first-round picks duking it out.
I was going to say, there's a budding story right there that we got to keep our eye on, man.
More touchdowns this year, Rager or Smith?
All right, man, listen. At some point, we will get to that Kyler Murray story because I just think that's just ridiculous. We will get to that at some point. I know I've teased it for the last hour. We will get
Ooh,
to
boy.
It. We'll also get to one key Eagle and how he views the expectations heading into the season. What did he say, and is he right? We'll play that audio for you next and take your phone calls. On the other side, Marks and Reeves right here on 94 WIP. Hey, if you're thinking about snacking on anything other than a tasty cake, guess what? You're making a huge mistake. A melted milkshake? Come on, mistake. How about a crumbly, sticky s'mores? Bigger mistake, or worst mistake of all, you resort to baking. Now, if it's not a tasty cake, it's a miscake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitutes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think that in this city, I just got done telling the team this issue. In this city, it feels like every year the media thinks that we're really good, we end up being and every year the media thinks we're going to be we end up being really good. So I prefer not to listen to what everybody thinks we look like on paper. And the only way we're going to be any good this season is we come out here and we work, and everybody comes out of the mentality to get better, each and every one of us.
Ah, that is Eagles captain, all-pro center, future Hall of Famer, Jason Kelce right there. He knows this city as well as any athlete in this town. I love the fact that our two longest tenured Eagles have seen both sides of the coin of being an athlete in this town and being, you know, almost, you know, overly criticized and justifiably in some cases for both players, but also persevering through that and becoming arguably two of the biggest sports figures in this town of the last decade. So that's in Brandon Graham and Jason Kelce. And anytime Jason speaks, I think he grabs the attention of all of us as sports fans, let alone Eagles fans in this town. And to hear him, you know, say that he has the correct feel for sort of the expectations of how they get placed when they're low versus when they're high and how the team responds to it. He has a feel for that. And he was here for the Dream Team.
I was just about to say.
He was here for that.
He's lived through that.
That was his rookie year.
It was his rookie year, yeah. And he's right. I mean, his analysis of that is correct. Like,
it's almost spot on.
It's completely spot on. And I think
he's listening to the shows this week.
Yeah. And I think he means probably some national media, too. Like, when the Eagles are – when people are high on the Eagles, they very rarely live up to those expectations. So I think, to your point, it's good for the Eagles to have an athlete or, you know, a teammate for these guys that have been through it that can go up in front of the team and say, look, I've read the, you know, the headlines. Yep. I know what it's like when we're viewed as a favorite to win the division. And it doesn't always work out that way. So the Eagles are very aware of the messaging of making sure the players know, especially the young players, mm-hmm. that, you know, you got to win week one, then week two, and you got to get to the playoffs. You're not just going to be handed the division. You're not going to be handed a playoff spot. Like, they have to go out and earn that. And you hear Sirianni and the older players, and Jalen actually, talk about that quite a bit.
Well, that's one good thing that we should all feel when it comes to who's our quarterback, is that he seems to be steady as you go. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. In his two-plus years here now, other than him showing his excitement out there on the field when he makes a player score a touchdown or one of his teammates does, he is pretty much even keeled. The only time I can remember him showing any type of real live emotion was after that Washington game. I think it was last year in Washington. Mm-hmm. And he was in – they had him breaking down the team after the game, after the big win.
Yep.
And I remember coming away thinking, okay, he is human. There is a pulse in there somewhere. And he isn't so measured and calculated in what he says and giving us a bunch of cliches. He's going to do that. But I like to see the rawness of a player because that shows me how authentic he is. And this thing actually does matter. We're still kids at heart, and we should get excited when we do things and react like kids do when you do something well and get excited. It shouldn't always be a measured take,
right.
And I'm going to keep my, you know, keep my head down, and I'm just working and grinding it out and this and that and the other, and nothing's ever good enough. That's okay at times, but that's not real to me. And I know that's not a real person. That's somebody who's trying not to either get tricked into saying something or get distracted from it. But when you win, or even when there's a tough loss, I want to see a little emotion. I want to see a little emotion. I don't want to hear we got to flush it and move on to the next game.
Yes, yeah. Which
I don't. I don't necessarily always want to hear that. I want to hear this wasn't good enough today, and damn it, we need to be better. That's the one thing that I will agree rubbed me the wrong way about Carson. It was like the same thing over and over every post game, whether you win or lose. And I'm like, dude, that's not real.
Yeah, saying he always has to work on
it. Yeah, that's right. Not real.
What's interesting about Jalen is he clearly is connected with the city in a major way, right? You hear mm-hmm. that with the callers, just fans we talk to here at Chickies and Pete's. Like, people really like Jalen. But you look at some of the other athletes that people really like Brandon Graham, and he's been here way longer, so it's not a complete fair comparison. But he does, like, you see so much of his personality the field, right?
He's all personality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Jason Kelce, you know, he does so much stuff, right? Yep. Jalen really doesn't put himself out there in that way. Like, I've covered Jalen for 2 years now. He's been in the city, or I'm sorry, I guess, you know, 3 years, going in his third year. Do people know a lot about Jalen off the field? Like, I think that people relate to him and connect to him because of his work ethic, and he, you know, kind of has that blue-collar thing that people like to say about the city. But ultimately, he really doesn't show, to your point, like that human side of him very often.
Yeah, I think he's guarded. And in this town, we can make you feel that way.
I think Alabama and Oklahoma probably do that to you a little bit, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he likes to refer to his time in Alabama. He obviously – held on to a lot of those jewels that Nick Saban would give him,
right?
About rat poison and all that type of stuff. He holds that near and dear to his heart. But again, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's his personality. But when it comes to the game stuff and out there on the field, every once in a while I do want to see that raw emotion. And he gave us a little bit of that from time to time last year. And you know what? Listen, maybe he'll get more comfortable as his years go, that he will show a little bit of more of that. And we're down here at Chickens and Pete's. In case you don't know, it is Football Friday, and this is where we are. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Chickens and Pete's. Football season is almost here. Well, just about. That means the return of the Brandon Graham Show and the Players Lounge. Myself, Elliot Shore Parks.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the two co-hosts of the Players Lounge. Every Monday right here live from Chickens and Pete's in South Philly. Now, we know Brandon Graham will be here because it's the Brandon Graham Show. He has to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure who will be a part of the Players Lounge. When we get that information, as we get closer to the season, we'll certainly let you know who it's going to be.
Yeah, it felt like football walking in here. You know, it's my first time I've been in Chickies to do a show, I should say, mm-hmm. since our last Players Lounge. So, yeah, Football Friday, football's back, man.
There we go. There we go. Let's get to Dave and Malton. Elliot, here's another person that has a question for you.
Right.
Dave, welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
Well, first-time caller, and I'll tell you what, I'm last of the baby boomers. 1964.
Ooh, boy.
Mike, you have a great radio voice.
Oh, thank you, brother.
All right. And there's an old phrase, practice makes perfect.
Yep.
And okay. Elliot, have you played competition sports before?
No.
I have, yeah.
Okay. I'm an old-time wrestler, and Uh-oh. We practice all the time.
Yeah.
And is this based off yesterday's show?
Yeah, I'm curious what this is, yeah.
No, it's not based off yesterday's show.
Well, we did a whole show about practicing and not practicing yesterday.
I guess it is kind of. Like, practice, I mean, especially with the offense. Like, my son played, you know, Pop Warner. The mm-hmm. offense had to practice every play, just repetition after repetition, and it makes them better.
Yeah, and the Eagles do that too, though. The Eagles practice the plays in the playbook a lot of times. The Eagles practice. They're down to NovaCare 8-9 hours a day during training camp. They practice on Wednesday. They practice today. Like, the Eagles practice. I don't get why people talk as if they're not practicing.
Okay, so, but wait. Then, that's like, a 58-minute practice, though.
Exactly.
So, let me ask you this, though. Do you care more about the length of the practice or what they do during the practice?
Repetition.
Okay, well, they got reps in on Wednesday. They got the same reps in on Wednesday that they did last year in a practice that was an hour and a half. Like, they are getting the reps in.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're
bite the guy's head off,
no,
man.
I'm not. Sorry, Dave. This is built up from yesterday,
no,
too.
Listen, I have one feeling. You can't hurt it.
I respect that. He's a former wrestler.
I got one more thing.
Yep.
Jack? Are you there, Jack?
Hello.
He's there.
without the baby boomers, you're not on the earth.
How about that?
Mm. Well, what? Without the boomers, you're not on earth either.
No, you wouldn't be on the earth without us. You understand that?
Yeah, that's usually how evolution works. Yeah, I got you.
I like it. Appreciate it.
Man, Jack got people going with that one yesterday.
Yeah. I think he forgot, or maybe he did not forget who's listening to our show.
Yeah, the key demographic.
He's poking at those people as he typically is.
Well, it's just like, you know, why can they rip on millennials, but they can't take it back? Like, that's
because we know more. We've been here.
They've been here longer. No, you've seen more things. I get it. But I don't know if you know more. Also, you're not part of We. You're Gen X.
Oh, I'm not? Oh.
Yeah, we decided you were too young.
I got respect
young.
For the baby boomers,
well,
though,
so
man.
So do I in some instances. But as we learned yesterday, they can't handle anything. You know, a little bit of criticism turns into meltdown city.
Yeah, no, it was for the last hour, people were not happy with you, Jack.
We're not happy.
Good thing you were gone, though. You know?
It was
poor
funny
Tucker
to listen.
Had to...
It was funny to listen to driving.
You accomplished your goal.
On the way to the – yeah, how did it go? How did the viewing party go, man?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, like a good amount of High Hopes people came out, some WIP people. Phil's won, which is always nice. They made it a little too tight there at the end. But yeah.
You guys were cruising along for the longest
night. The Miller Lights were flowing. Everything was great. And then Jerry Somelia came in and ruined everything.
Stay till the end? Watch the whole thing?
Had to, yes, yep.
Well, how did the crowd turn as Familia was giving up these runs?
Well, to be honest, we kind of were mostly checked out, and then we turned around, and it was like, okay, it's 8-4, no big deal. Okay, it's 8-7. Right. And then it was like, they were just like, get him out. A lot of get him out, a lot of furiousness, but yeah, it was good.
How did you handle that? You don't seem like someone that would do well as the Phillies are faltering and people are in your face talking to you about it.
Good question.
Here's the thing is Seltzer was still talking to people. I was locked in on the TV. Like,
you were just sitting there at the bar by yourself, just
saying they bet not blow this game.
I was standing. I couldn't be sitting down. So it was all good, though.
Nice.
Never doubted him.
All right. Never doubted that now we can finally get to this Kyler Murray story.
Yeah,
real
here
quick.
We go. Yeah.
Right on time.
That Arizona would backpedal with this situation with Kyler Murray. You put a clause in the man's contract that says he has to study for 4 hours a week, at least 4 hours a week, with no television, no video games on in the background, no music, no anything, like he's a damn 10-year-old.
The homework clause.
Yeah, the homework clause. And then Kyler Murray comes out there and has to defend himself yesterday. Hey, Kyler, you and your representative didn't realize that clause was in there before you signed that contract. You agreed to this. You and your agent, you agreed to this contract with this clause in there. And it's an uncommon clause in a contract. So it's not as if you and your representatives, or at least your representatives, didn't know that clause was in the contract. So your team put you on Front Street. You get upset and want to challenge everybody else about questioning your work ethic. Well, then challenge your organization. They questioned your work ethic. That's why they put the clause in the contract, buddy. They did that. They did that. And then Arizona, you know, because Kyler is turning into baby mode again, and they've already given him $190 million.
The impromptu press conference.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, he had his own press conference. Yeah. They were like, hold on, we better get a hold of this thing before he goes bleep you know what. And now they take it out the contract. So either they got what they wanted, which was for him to be humiliated and have a little public pressure on him to have to study and be a better quarterback, or they just caved to a quarterback that they basically didn't want to pay and made themselves look bad by removing that clause out of the contract. Why would you put that in the contract?
Well, and the biggest joke was their statement they put out yesterday after they removed the clause, where it's like, this didn't have the intended effect we want.
Oh,
how
yeah.
did you think this was going to be perceived?
Like, yeah,
first of all, you mentioned how it's not in many contracts. I would say, in terms of like big time quarterbacks, this is probably the first time it's ever been in there, which is why it's such a unique thing.
Yes.
And again, like, maybe they wanted it to come out just to like publicly shame him a little.
I still believe that was part of it.
But to your point, his agent during this, it was probably one of the most negotiated parts of the deal because it is so unique.
Yes.
I'm sure Kyler was not thrilled that this
was
going on.
And that wasn't an accident. They put that clause in there for a reason.
It didn't just slip in and they didn't read, right? So, but at the end of the day, like, it just shows a bad relationship and a bad feeling the team has about Kyler. You don't give somebody that money if you have to tell them, do homework, but make sure the video games aren't on while you do it. Like, that's not a franchise quarterback. So I think this is a bad sign. I think it's getting the franchise deal off to a bad start. And this is going to end up being a problem for Arizona.
Yeah. And listen, I was one of those guys that was on board with wanting to trade for Kyler earlier in the offseason. I think he's very talented, but he's clearly not the student of the game that Arizona wants him to be. He's out there doing more freelancing than he is actually running the offense, and they feel like there are some things he needs to improve upon from an intangible standpoint, leadership ability, everybody in that locker room having complete faith in him. You know, we went through that with Carson here and the question marks that were there. Well, the same thing there is out there in Arizona. They could try to clean it up as best they can or what have you, but they fumbled this, or they deliberately did this and put Kyler out there and then backpedaled and tried to make it seem as if, no, you guys are taking this out of context or misinterpreting what we meant by this being in the con. No. You did this on purpose. It's obviously validated why you did it, because you feel Kyler needs to improve in those areas, and you didn't decide to change it until Kyler decided to call a press conference and defend himself.
And then at the press conference, he gets up there and he says, basically, like, well, I was 42-0 in high school. I was a number 9 pick in baseball. Like, Kyler, we all, like, obviously you worked to get where you are. Yeah. Nobody's disputing that. What's clear is the team feels you need to work harder.
Yeah.
That's what's clear. And that's what the contract showed. So, look, props to him. He got the signing bonus. He got the check. But this feels like a recipe for disaster in Arizona.
It does feel like it's not going to work. Hey, today's show is live from Chickies and Pete's. Book your fantasy football draft parties right now. Details at chickiesandpete's.com. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's get PJ from Westchester up here. PJ, welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
What's up, fellas? Happy Friday to you.
What up,
what's
PJ?
What's up, PJ? Happy Friday, brother.
All right, so one point and then a question, and if I do have time, I do want you guys to know that my nephew's out in Pittsburgh right now, and he just ran into Castellanos, and Castellanos made a comment about Hurts, but that's not why I called.
That's a stupid question.
The point I have, the first point I have is this. Whether you're a Hurts supporter, believer, hater, whatever it is, I think all of us, and Ike, I think you just said this, we can all agree, with the exception of if they make it to the NFC Championship, and even if they do, if he plays like crap, Howie's going after a quarterback. That's just what he does. So yep. Everybody just put your minds at ease. We're going to get another quarterback next year. We are. My question to you guys, though, is this. For you guys who actually saw what happened in camp the last couple of days, especially the offensive struggles, especially inaccurate throws, pressure on the quarterback, I'm genuinely just curious. How much of it has to do with the strength of the defense that we keep touting and we're so excited about versus potential weaknesses of Hurts in the offense?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going against their defense. So, of course, when the defense plays well, I think the Eagles probably feel good about that. I personally didn't feel like the offensive struggles were because of the defense. I did not think – like, the coverage, I guess, was good on the receivers, but ultimately the throws were there to be made, and I just thought they were inaccurate throws. The interception – Avante Maddox caught it, and props to him, but Hurts threw it right up to him. I didn't think it was a phenomenal read by Avante where he jumped the ball. It pretty much went right to him almost like a punt. So I didn't think today was that. No, I thought today was the offense struggling.
Okay, cool.
All right, PJ. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, did you want me to tell you what Castellano said to my nephew?
Sure, go ahead, yeah.
All right, well, apparently they walked right by each other. And my nephew's buddy is wearing an Eagles hat, and Castellanos looks over at him, and he says, we got to get a new quarterback. Hurts
oh
sucks.
God.
And then no. My immediate response was, you would know because you're the captain of the Sucks Club.
Wow. Sounds like a fun exchange for Nick.
I can't.
If real.
Sounds believable.
I can't put that out there on Castellanos, man.
No.
I know. Probably didn't happen, but now is that Peter in Maple Shade?
Yeah, was that Peter and Maple Shade?
Yep.
And we got into the fight with Nick Sirianni.
Oh, yeah, that's
remember that
right.
Guy?
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Has anyone brought up if Sirianni's been working on his tennis skills?
I was going to ask him, yeah, you know, working on any tennis. You know what's funny? How when you get people to call in all week and they will say, basically, Gannon should be fired, the defense is terrible, don't worry about it, and then Hurts struggles, and it's like, well, guys, keep in mind, they do have a pretty good defense.
Or you're back to that again.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, I guess we're all agreeing they have a good defense today. That seems to be the reaction to this.
All right, let's get Tom up here. Middletown. Tom, welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
Hey, Jack, how are you guys?
What up, man?
What's up, Tom?
Listen, I don't want to sound like an old video, but we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Okay, what the Eagles say, practice. Now, to me, the old saying is practice makes perfect. So when you're out there practicing, you're trying new things. You're trying different mechanics, different body angles, different, you know, large angles, different things, because that's what practice is about. So I really don't put a whole lot of credence if my guys don't look all that great at practice.
Yeah, look,
When it's the quarterback, though.
Right. And then there's part of that, you're right, that in practice they try things maybe they wouldn't in a game, yes, but ultimately he still did not have a good day of practice. And it wasn't like he was, you know, throwing left-handed or right-handed. Like, he wasn't alternating hands. He was still out there trying to complete the passes.
And I get you, but I'm not going to get all worried and stressed about it. Because,
well, I don't think you have to get worried and stressed about it, but I think it's noteworthy that he struggled. I mean, they practice out there and they let people watch for a reason. You know, like, what happens does matter. You're right. You can place it on how much emphasis you want to put into it, but he did not have a good day.
All right, but they have new personnel, new routes, new play system. I don't know, but
I don't know about that, man. But the whole thing all offseason was he's got the same offense. He's going to feel better in that. They have one new receiver. They have AJ's the only new receiver. Outside of that, it's Devontae. It's Quez. It's the same offensive line. Like, there is a lot of continuity there for him.
Okay, and as far as Jack goes with the not liking he likes the millennials, but not the
baby boomers,
right?
Yeah, baby boomer. Yeah. I'm a baby boomer father of seven millennials, and I bang my head against the wall every day trying to figure you millennials out.
Ooh,
listen, we're tough people to figure out, but I think we're decent. You know, we're just a little different
because we're multi-layered.
Right.
Multi-layered.
We're like onions.
Exactly. You peel it back.
Yeah, you make everybody cry.
Oh, there it is.
There, that's a good zinger. I gotta be. I'm impressed with that. I gotta be honest.
Didn't know Gen Z had that in him.
Gen Z. I don't even know which one I'm in.
He's Gen X.
Gen X. Okay.
No, Gen Z is the one below millennials, and they are the worst. By the way, they are worse. They are awful.
They're worse than the baby boomers.
I actually loathe Gen Z more than the baby boomers.
What age is that?
I think that's like the maybe like 16 to 22-ish.
Oh, wow. Those are the youngins.
Because now they're all wearing 90s stuff. It's so funny how like 90s stuff is like throwback now.
Yeah.
It technically was 30-some years ago, which is wild to think about. I guess we're getting old.
It is wild to think about.
They're walking, because I live at, I live in Westchester, so I see the college kids walking around. And they're like wearing like Nirvana shirts. And like, I feel like it's a throwback to the 90s.
It also feels like the baggy, grungy look is back, too.
It is.
Like, when I was growing up, having clean white sneakers was key. Like, my Air Force Ones always were clean. Now I look around and people...
It is still key.
It is. I agree, but kids...
Yeah, don't take cues from them.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can't use that as an excuse.
Ike's Eagles gear is just... It's close to being right in line with the with where the Gen Zers are. A few more years.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, man, I'm totally out of date, and I'm never, well, I should say I'm always clueless as to what's going on and what's happening.
I mean, you get nice.
I keep the sneaker game tight. Well,
I feel like Ike is transitioning into, like, OG status, you know what I mean?
I can see that a little bit.
He's trying to age me, that's what he's doing.
Well, you also showed up to the wedding with the bow tie, you know, looking nice.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Transitioning into more, I'm starting to see a little bit of gray in the beard. It's
You noticing it?
Little bit on the sides.
Oh man, that's not good.
He's got in the one spot too, like Malcolm had. Malcolm had the one spot in his.
Yes, and I refuse to go to dyeing it, so it's just gonna roll how it is.
You're gonna come in one day just jet black.
No. It's just I pluck it though.
Okay.
Oh, pause. Let's get the break here, man. We got Jack's time of the day coming up next. His top five at five, exactly. Yes, we'll see what the hell he does to burn the city down today, as it is the most listened to segment on the Marks and Reese Show. How about that? We'll find out next what Jack has in store for us here on 94 WIP. Now, this baseball season turned K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, I really like the FanDuel app. And right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code Ike, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code Ike to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.